Jill, you've been reporting on domestic violence trends for years and looking into the spike during the pandemic specifically. In Marion County, some zip codes experienced as much as a 200% increase in domestic violence-related 911 calls. What do we know so far about what's behind this increase?
Well, many attribute the increase to the fact that people have been, you know, confined together at home more because of the pandemic, and people also lost jobs during the pandemic. So it's the financial and emotional stress that we think has increased all levels of violence, and the overall homicide rate, of course, in Indianapolis is up as well.
Oh, was there a corresponding increase in help?
Absolutely. At the beginning of the pandemic, there was, especially during the lockdown, when relief money housed families at hotels and nonprofits were able to collaborate more. But on the other side, some of the original relief money has now waned. I spoke with the founder of a small nonprofit group called Silent No More. Danielle Smith, she's the founder, and she told me that many who are working on this issue are really overwhelmed.
Yes, I'm not only hearing it, I'm seeing it. Because we're boots on the ground, you know, we're in contact with those families. We're at the scenes when there's a murder-suicide or when there is someone shot. We connect with those families.
Smith is also a survivor. After 10 years with her ex, she finally broke free, educating herself on the system and the process and how to advocate for herself. Now, she realized it's hard for people to identify that they are, in fact, experiencing domestic violence. And after she was saved, she realized her children also had trouble naming what they'd just been through.
And that's when I realized that they didn't know anything about domestic violence. So I then started asking their friends, what did they know about domestic violence? And they didn't know anything, let alone teen dating abuse. So that is when I was like, okay, there's people out here that know nothing about what so many people are going through.
When she established her nonprofit to teach people to name domestic violence.
Well, it does seem like there's been an increase in campaigns and initiatives to address domestic violence.
Well, certainly in recent decades, there's been more general awareness and acceptance, and nonprofit groups like Danielle's can help close gaps, but more is needed on all levels, starting possibly with first responders. Danielle says her experience illustrates how difficult it can be to connect with help on that day that someone decides to leave.
When I decided that this was it, on February 6th of 2014, when I called the police, you know, the only thing that they said was go downtown and get a protection order. There was nothing that tells me what's next.
Oh, beyond helping people know where to go and who to call, what are some other challenges?
People do need shelter. That is a big one. And more established groups like Domestic Violence Network can often help with that. But Executive Director Kelly McBride says more often people just need a helping hand, like legal assistance or utility help. And she says often they also do not want to call the police.
They don't want law enforcement help. They want to rely on their communities, their churches, their friends, and their family, and have community accountability for their perpetrator.
And that can look like someone helping out with children, or relatives that will take in a family, or help out with money, or community members that can step in and moderate the situation. But if people can't rely on those channels, you may end up involving the legal system. And McBride says that's another challenge. People need legal help. She told me most people show up alone, representing themselves, or in legal terms, pro se, which is Latin for in one's own behalf.
If you are a pro se asking for a protective order, which 97% of individuals are, they don't have an attorney helping them with it.
That comment about protective orders, people are scared for their lives. A lot of these 911 calls end in death.
Yes, and that is often related to guns. McBride says an increased number of domestic violence homicides are due to firearms, and their group recently released a report on this issue, found firearms responsible for almost 3/4 of domestic violence deaths in 2020. But she says Indiana law provides only limited ways to seize firearms from someone at risk of using them. McBride told me that in court, often proceedings are cattle calls and numerous cases can be heard at one time. And if the judge asks one defendant if they have a gun and they say they don't, well, it's all based on the honor system.
Perpetrators are not dumb. They're pretty smart people. So they're sitting there and they're hearing one person have to surrender their guns because they voluntarily said that they had a gun. You can bet your bottom dollar nobody else has a gun in that courtroom.
She says overall more work must be done on the mental health and therapy side because the issues that ultimately result in murder have much deeper roots.
So we really need to start looking at trauma and how hurt people, and what does that look like? So if we had more trauma-informed care services, if we have more affordable mental health care or free mental health care that's quality, those are some really key things that really would help.
If you know someone who needs help getting away from an abusive relationship, more resources are on our website with the story at wfyi.org/news. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Taylor.